Hey, Roxy.
Hey, James.
How's it going?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing great. You know why?
Why?
Because Creepy Kingdom has officially launched a Patreon account.
Patreon? What's Patreon?
Well, let me tell you, Patreon is a way that the listeners of the show can support us.
So, like a Kickstarter?
Not exactly. Kickstarter only is a one-time thing. On Patreon, our listeners can support us every month. And in exchange for them supporting us, we will give them special, super awesome prizes.
How much do they have to pay to support us?
They can pay whatever they want. You could pay $1 a month. You could pay $10, $100. It's up to them.
That's really cool. So how can Creepy Kingdom fans find this Patreon thing?
Well, you could go to creepykingdom.com and check the show notes on our recent episodes, or you could go to patreon.com/creepykingdom. That's patreon.com.
I'm going to go check it out right now.
Me too.
Monster Movie Media presents...
Greetings and welcome to episode 93 of the Creepy Kingdom podcast, a podcast all about the creepiness of the Disney films and theme parks. I am your host, Mr. James H. Carter II, and coming up on this episode, we discuss a whole slew of announcements that Disney has done regarding some more of their live-action remakes. And after that, we get to a little listener feedback as well. So without any further ado, let's begin. Alrighty, I am here with the evil queen of Creepy Kingdom, Miss Roxy Tart.
Hi, everyone.
And the countess of Creepy Kingdom. You gotta say that lower. The countess of Creepy Kingdom, Miss Cupcake Terror.
Hello, my children.
Children. I like
apparently,
the children.
Cupcake Terror has moved to Transylvania.
Duh.
You know, if you stay
in hometown,
if you live in a place long enough, you pick up the accent. So it happens. So we're gonna talk about some news that just came out about some more of these live action Disney fairy tale remakes, reboots, relaunch, whatever you want to call. Some more things have been announced. Some casting news have been announced. Some possible creepy things happening. So. There's so much to kind of discuss, so we're just going to talk about it. That's what we're here. That's what we're here to do.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to do.
Go ahead.
Do you have something that you need?
My bad, James.
Who's the host around here?
I forget. I haven't done my own show in a while, okay? Yeah. I forget you're the host. What do you want from me?
Jeez.
No, I'm the fairest one of all, okay?
All right, but I'm still the host. All right, let's jump right into it. First of all, this is a little bit of a follow-up to our episode we did a little while back where we were talking about the Disney films coming out this year, and we had a very lengthy discussion about The Jungle Book, which was just recently released. And I was very skeptical of it, if you did not listen to it. I was skeptical of the talking animals aspect of it, and I just wasn't quite sure if it was going to be fun.
But you saw it, right?
I did see it. And, you know, it's not a full review of it because you two haven't seen it. So we can't get too deep into it. So here's my thoughts. I have to say, I thought the film was excellent.
Yay!
I thought it, you know, I mean, as far as the talking animals thing, which I'm always skeptical of that before. I'm just scarred by, like, I don't know.
Dr. Doolittle? Babe.
Yeah, Babe. Yeah, stuff like that. You know? I mean, Babe is great, but, you know, I mean, you just don't, you know, you don't take it seriously.
No.
But I bought it right away. Like, you're immediately, like, sucked into this world. And the fact that the animals are talking, it's just done so well. And the story was great. I mean, I'd give it a 4 out of 5 stars.
Like, nice.
There was some, like, real suspense. I'm not going to say it was scary, but it was just like there was some intense moments of the movie. It's not really violent, but there's off-screen violence. It was really well done. And in fact, right when I got home, I rewatched the animated version. And I have to say, I much prefer the live-action version to the animated version.
Nice.
And a lot of people might not feel that way because they love the music, and there's not really a lot of music in there.
But it doesn't really seem like it's a musical type.
No.
Well,
I'm okay with this.
My 14-year-old autistic son went with his class yesterday to see it. And to give you another point of view, mm-hmm. he informed me. First of all, he told me every character that was in it. So if you haven't seen it yet and you're worried that your favorite main characters aren't in it, they are. Don't worry. including every elephant. Every wolf, every I got a big lowdown.
Oh, you got everybody.
Here.
Yeah, nice.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, it was awesome. But he said that he gave it. I said, "Do you give it 1 or 2 thumbs up?" And he gave it 2 thumbs up. He had a really good time. He watched the whole movie and didn't leave through any of it. And he says that it was a lot of fun, and it was not scary.
Wow. So he didn't find those moments scary that I was referencing.
Nope.
Wow. Interesting. So. Because I would think that a lot of kids would think some of those intense moments were scary.
I was worried about him seeing it. I wasn't going to take him to see it. If his class hadn't taken him, I would not have taken him to see The Jungle Book because it looked kind of dark. But he informed me that it was not a scary movie. So.
All right. Well, I guess his level of what scares him is getting his threshold's getting higher there.
Right? Well, he was watching Zombieland the other day, so, you know.
Well, that's not a scary movie. That's a
scary yeah, it is. Things pop out and jump out at you and blood everywhere. It's scary.
Okay, well, we all...
They kill Bill Murray. I mean, that's super scary.
Yeah.
And sad. That was really the saddest part of the whole movie.
Well, speaking of Bill Murray, he was great in The Jungle Book.
Yeah.
I'm pretty close to say I love it. I would, you know, it's a close to it, but I really liked it a lot. It was really well done, and it definitely deserves all the praise that it's been getting because it's been really well reviewed, really well received, made a lot of money at the box office, so much so that they have already greenlit a sequel.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Goodness.
They've already done a sequel, and it will be directed by Jon Favreau.
I'm okay with that.
So, yeah, I mean, yeah, it was good. I mean, I don't know what else to say without really getting into it. One thing that's really impressive, actually, though, is, you know, I thought that the locations and the scenery was actually filmed somewhere on location, and it's completely a computer-generated environment, which I read later, which I was completely blown away by. The whole movie was filmed in Los Angeles, and I was like, that is insane. Not only are the animals... you know, completely computer generated, which those look like real animals. Those are probably the most realistic computer generated animals that I've ever seen.
Nice. Yeah. We were actually watching TV last night and there was a little snippet on about the like behind the scenes and making of it and stuff. And, the creative director, mm-hmm. I believe, maybe. Was like, yeah, we, our goal was to make it so that you cannot tell what's real and what's not. So that was our goal. And we really think that we accomplished it well. And they showed some of the behind the scenes stuff. That little boy acted to sock puppets.
Are you kidding me?
No, they were people with sock puppets on their hands. And that is what he was acting and reacting to. And so, yeah.
That has to be the hardest job. I mean, you're not even acting with another person. Yeah. Someone's reading lines, but you're, environment doesn't exist. Like you have to create your own environment in your head after what they tell you. So, I don't know. The kids should win an Academy Award.
Well,
that's what I think.
You didn't even see the movie. What the
okay, well, but we know it's good because you told us it was.
I was going to mention the kid's performance. I thought he did a really good job. I mean, just considering when I my girlfriend Shannon and I, we saw it, she kind of thought his acting wasn't too good. And my debate on that was, I don't think his acting was bad. I think it was just the direction of the character that it wasn't, he wasn't quite responding as a boy raised in the jungle would. I think it was a little, you know, it was a little toned down. It was a little more like relatable to the average kid as opposed to being a, you know, a real kid in the wild.
A jungle kid?
Yeah.
They wanted him to relate to the kids from the urban jungle.
Yeah. And so that's why I kind of looked at it as a direction, not a knock on the kid's acting ability. And then I also brought up the fact, too, that he was acting with nobody.
Yeah. Sock puppets. He was acting to sock puppets. I couldn't do that. You know, I don't think I could give a believable performance without another person and their emotion and whatnot across from me. Like,
yeah, and he carried the whole movie. You know? Yep. So it was great. It was great. The music, there was, like I said, there was a little Bare Necessities part. And there was like musical, like interludes, like over not interludes, you know, like it was in the score during
overtures.
Certain scenes. Overtures, that's what I was looking for. Yeah, there was a little, you know, that you're like, oh, here's King Louis, and here's the song that I want to hear. But it wasn't, they didn't like break into musical numbers, which I don't really care for. So I was really glad that was not the case.
Sacrilege.
They didn't. Yeah, what are you gonna do? There's a very few musicals on my list that I enjoy. One thing that was cool though, it wasn't included in the actual film, but it was in the credits, was you know, Scarlett Johansson did Ka, and she didn't sing "Trust in Me" in the film, but that is actually her singing it in the credits.
Neat.
And she's got a very lovely voice.
Nice. She's pretty lovely.
Yeah, she's pretty lovely all around. I will say this: the Ka in this version, a lot sexier than the Ka in the animated version.
Oh, you think?
Well, let's see who's voicing Ka. Come on, you know.
I'm pretty sure it's the guy that did Mad Hatter in the is in the animated version. I might be wrong on that.
But not exactly what you think of when you think sexy.
No. So, anyways, yeah. So, you know, I don't really, I think that's all I need to say about it. I don't really think we really need to full on do a creepiest like full episode about it, you know. But you know, if you're on the fence about Jungle Book, I say check it out.
There we go.
All right, moving on to our next thing. I feel like we heard about this or rumored before, but in the past week or so, this information is spreading everywhere. So we're gonna need to kind of discuss this. Is that there is a live action Cruella film in the mix. And apparently Emma Stone has been cast as Cruella.
I am so excited.
You guys can't see, but Roxy's literally waving her hands and fanning herself.
Dude, I'm so excited. I'm so excited. You guys know how much I wanted a Cruella movie. I said it when Maleficent came out. All I wanted was a Cruella movie and an Ursula movie. Like, I can't.
Even.
I literally can't even, y'all.
Wow.
I don't know.
Wow, we're going down that road. Huh?
I'm so excited. I'm more excited about this than I was about Cinderella.
And she was excited about Cinderella. Cupcake, how's your excitement level?
She's
going to be kind way of more excited for another one that we talk about later on.
Yeah. So, no, I'm really excited about all of these, like, live-action movies coming out. But at the same time, I'm nervous about them. Like, I'm trying not to get too excited.
You don't want to get your hopes up.
Yes, exactly. Because as much as I loved Cinderella and as much as I loved Maleficent, there were just some things I was like, well, that's, you know, an odd way to tell a story. Not so much Cinderella, but more with Maleficent. So I want – I don't know how to explain it without sounding like a jerk. Like, I want them to be evil.
I want them to be evil
because somebody did something to, you know?
Yeah. Like,
yeah,
you want your bad guys to be bad guys.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's why I'm a little nervous about the Cruella thing, because Cruella was just evil.
I mean,
you know, she wanted to do mean things to puppies so she could wear them.
Cruella wasn't even, I mean, if you're an animal activist, then Cruella was evil, but Cruella was crazy. That's the thing about Cruella. Like, she wasn't evil. She wasn't, you know, kidnapping princesses and that kind of stuff.
I think she was evil for killing puppies, so.
Well, yes, and lots of people think that it's evil to kill puppies, but.
Apparently you don't.
But Cruella, well, it depends. How nice of a coat are they going to make? Like, you know, whatever. But Cruella was crazy. That's the thing about Cruella, is that she was just off her rocker. So as long as they're going to – as they kind of stay to that, I think I'll be happy with it. Because so far, everything they've done, Cinderella, Maleficent, Alice in Wonderland, like, I love them. I love the retellings. I love how it's different. I love – you know, as long as they stick to the – and like with Maleficent, I
love and hate that movie.
I know. And me too. And like, Maleficent is supposed to be the mistress of evil, you know, and all of this. And they gave her a very, you know, personal like side and made us feel bad for her and this and that. And I did like it, but maybe I didn't like it as Maleficent, you know?
Right. Like, it's not the Maleficent story that you wanted to hear.
Yeah. I liked it as a story. I loved it as a movie, but you know, maybe it wasn't the Maleficent that we all know and love. And, like, I'm sure the same will be done for Cruella and for all of these other ones that they're doing, that they'll change them and whatnot. But so far I haven't seen anything that I didn't like. So I'm excited. Until they mess up and piss me off, I'm excited.
Well, and that's what I'm nervous about. Like, I don't want it to happen to where it's like, oh, I love it. I'm so excited. I watched it. Oh, this is the worst movie ever.
Well, you know.
Which I never think that way about movies because I'm very open-minded when it comes to movies. But I think it's because it's Disney. I'm a little trepidatious.
So what do we think about Emma Stone?
I love Emma Stone, and I think she can do crazy. Because she's adorable. And adorable people who are sane seem to pull off crazy and acting really well.
I feel like she'll be great. I feel like physically, yeah, I mean, that works. But I also feel like that she'll deliver something kind of special.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, she always does. I mean, what was the movie that she was in? With the letter A on her chest? I thought I was going to hate that movie.
I did hate that movie.
Easy A. I thought I was going to hate that movie. I actually liked that movie a lot. Like, for me, it worked.
I am not the demographic of that film. I hated that movie.
You're really not. I would not, if someone had asked me, you know, if I had to sit down and write out a list of actresses that I thought would make a good Cruella de Vil, Emma Stone probably would not have been on my list.
No.
But I ain't mad at it.
Well, the thought also, you would probably think of somebody older.
Older.
So that kind of alludes to maybe what this film's going to be about, which is, you know, an origin of Cruella.
Which would be awesome.
Because we don't actually know Cruella's origin at all. So that's kind of up in the air for what they can create.
In Once Upon a Time, you know, they had a little Cruella arc and we got her origin story and whatnot. And it was awesome. Like, it was so good. We saw how she got her powers and we saw how she grew up and we, you know, and it really gave her a character. And whether or not, you know, the Once Upon a Time world is going to be canon or not, or blah, 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 blah. Right. It was really cool to see that. So, yes, when they announced that it was Emma Stone, I immediately thought, oh, my God. Okay, cool. We're going to get a younger Cruella, and maybe it is going to be an origin story, and this will be fabulous.
Yeah, I don't know. What I really hope is that this is not the reboot of 101 Dalmatians. You know, and that it really is just about Cruella. I mean, because of course we have the two live action 101 Dalmatian films, which, you know, for in all intents and purposes, really are the beginnings of the of the Air Bud series. A shout out to everyone that enjoyed our Air Bud podcast.
I have seen both of those movies numerous times, but as far as I'm concerned, the only reason to watch those movies is because of Cruella.
Yep.
You know,
Glenn Close played an amazing
Cruella. She was great.
Cruella.
No, she was great.
Cruella. She saved those movies.
I only watched the first one. And the only thing I remember really liking Glenn Close, and that might have just, I haven't watched it a long time, but I kind of think that was kind of like, you know, there wasn't really like every time we think about this, I can't remember, but that was probably much one of the first live action retellings that they did. I don't think there was one before it that I can remember. And so it was just really exciting to get kind of a live action villain. So, you know, so long ago, but I just remember just like the puppies aspect of it was just too childish. And I just remember being very boring. So I haven't really.
Of course, again, you're not the demographic they were aiming for.
Not quite, but I should have been.
You know,
I'm saying though. I mean, the movie should have been to people that love the characters, especially yes. You know, especially Cruella, who is the main human character. Yep.
But no, it was totally geared towards kids. But Glenn Close did an amazing job, and the sets and the costumes, you know, that they chose for her and the way that they chose to shoot it. And it was really, really good. And so I'm excited to see what they're going to do with the new one.
Yeah. I don't think this one's got a release date yet, but you know, just Emma Stone is officially attached.
Yep.
So at least that's something, huh?
Yes. Yes. What else we got going on?
So the next one we're going to talk about is a live action adaptation of The Jungle Cruise. And this is an article that we found kind of describing it from slashfilm.com.
A couple weeks ago, it was revealed that Dwayne Johnson will be starring in Jungle Cruise, based on Disneyland's classic boat ride. The Rock has now revealed that the movie will be a period piece taking place during the 1920s. The Rock took to his Instagram page to commemorate his first meeting with the film's screenwriters, Glenn Ficarra and John Requa, the writing duo behind Bad Santa, Bad News Bears, and most recently, Focus.
Interesting.
Rock says, pumped to kick off the writing for our Disney's Jungle Cruise. Great meeting with writers Requa and Ficarra, who last wrote Focus with Will Smith and Bad Santa with Billy Bob Thornton. Our goal is to push the envelope in a smart, edgy, epically funny way. Johnny Depp raised the bar with Pirates of the Caribbean. Now it's our turn to take a bat at an iconic Disney attraction, and hopefully it will turn into something dope and cool. I'll keep y'all posted along the way. Here we go. Oh, it's Dwayne Johnson.
I'm so excited. I'll see anything that The Rock does, so, you know.
Seriously. I mean, every movie that he's been in is hilarious. It's always fun and entertaining, and I'm excited to figure out how they're going to stick his massive, like, Polynesian frame into a 1920s style outfit because people were really that big in the 1920s.
Wow.
Yeah.
So
slim fit pinstripe suits or anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, The Rock is always fun. He's very charismatic and enjoyable. I agree with everything you just said. But let's talk about a Jungle Cruise movie, no matter who's in it. Like, it's kind of a vague concept as a film, so you can pretty much do anything.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to assume that because it is the Jungle Cruise and it's based on the ride and it is The Rock, that it's going to be an action comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that would be my assumption, you know.
Not going to be a rom-com.
Well, based on the writers and the other films they did, it definitely humor. I mean, of course, The Jungle Cruise is hilarious.
Yes. But I'm picturing kind of like not as epic as Pirates of the Caribbean, but kind of that adventure comedy like Pirates of the Caribbean, you know, very much a like safari type adventure that they go on and interact with all these different things. It is interesting, though, that they just chose to set it in the 20s because the Jungle Cruise ride is set in the 30s.
Yeah, I was thinking that. So is this like the prequel to the Jungle Cruise?
The prequel, probably. This is how the Jungle Cruise became a reality.
So where do you think the jungle is going to be?
Well, obviously, it'll be in the Amazon.
Well,
if it's not, you're in denial.
Thank you for bringing that level
of
quality.
I'm going to throw in so many Jungle Cruise jokes right now. So many. Everyone duck.
Those are natives throwing spears at Cupcake Tear.
I'm telling you guys.
I feel like you should have been a Jungle Cruise skipper.
I wouldn't mind doing that. I think it would be a really fun job. But the only thing is, I wanted to be a Jungle Cruise skipper when you kind of had that freedom. to put in your own jokes. And now it really is a script. Like, they can only do certain things.
Really? What kind of Jungle Cruise jokes have you been sitting on that you're just dying to the mix?
Well, I'm on the spot. It's all right. I'm down. No, but, like, I wanted to do the really bad ones, like, about the zebra. You can't say that one anymore. They don't say that. Like, oh, look, the pride of lions is guarding that zebra while it sleeps. No, you jerks. It's eating the zebra.
I think they still say that.
No, they have to say that they're guarding it while it sleeps now.
As opposed to what? Isn't that what you just said?
That's what they say now. It used to be... Yeah. There was a whole dinner bit, and it was like, he shouldn't take this lying down, and what else was it? But it was specifically about them eating the lion. I actually like when they used to do the Fantasmic joke. That one always made me laugh.
What's the backside of water.
They'd go under the waterfall, and the
Schweitzer Falls, named after the famous adventurer, Dr. Falls.
Falls. But the skipper would turn the lights of the jungle boat, the cruise boat, on and off, and be like, and now it's the ninth wonder of the world, Fantasmic! And he'd turn the lights on and off. I thought
it was a good joke.
That's a great joke. So do we think that we think it's going to be fun and exciting and all that? Do you think it's going to be creepy? Do you think there's going to be some scary elements?
I think that there might be some, like, creepy, scary elements, but not too much. So The Rock was actually in another movie, as an adventure movie with...
It was Escape from Witch Mountain?
No.
He was in that, wasn't he?
But he was in that one, yeah.
Yeah, he was in that one. It wasn't a Disney movie. I think it wasn't called The Runaway, The Runaround. It had him, Christopher Walken, and the kid from American Pie.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I'll look it up, but it's kind of the same concept. It was... an adventure movie. It was a comedy. There were some really, like, suspenseful moments. I think it will be along those lines, because it's just...
I think
it'll be perfect.
I think the creepy aspects of it will come from, like, the jungle at night. Mm. You know, there's the giant snake. You know, they could definitely do something really creepy with that. Being chased by a tiger, piranhas, like, all of that stuff, depending on how you work it in and whatnot, could definitely have a creepy aspect to it.
Oh, I'm getting a little more excited about this as we talk about it.
think about the part of the ride where, like, you go into the ruins, you know, you go under the thing and into the ruins. It's got the giant, you know, the big old snake and all that. Yeah. Like, you could really easily amp up that creep factor, you know, and make it spooky and a little, you know.
All
what,
right.
Katie?
It's called The Rundown. The Rundown. If you haven't seen it, watch it. And you'll, James, you'll get an idea of what I mean. It's like the fun adventure stuff. I think that will be the reason why Dwayne will be awesome in it. In the new Jungle Cruise movie.
You're on a first name basis, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. I think it'll be cool. I think it's got some serious potential. I love that he brought up Johnny Depp in Pirates of the Caribbean. You know, I think that's really cool that The Rock brought that up and was like, you know, he did this for Pirates of the Caribbean. Let's see if we can do it for Jungle Cruise. That gives me a lot of hope.
Well, we'll see. I mean, that's I guess setting the bar pretty high by saying something like
right?
that. That's for sure. I mean, no matter what you think of the Pirates of the Caribbean films, you could definitely say that they have taken the franchise to a whole other level that didn't exist before the films. We'll just have to wait and see what happens with the Jungle Cruise. We got one more thing here to talk about. One that was just really – this news, I mean, the Jungle Cruise information came out, you know, last year, but we just hadn't discussed it, so I just thought I'd bring it up. But this one's a little crazy. The news has surfaced that a sequel to Mary Poppins is in development.
Uh-huh.
This is nuts. I don't know.
I don't know about this one.
I – I'm going to absolutely 100% reserve judgment until I know more.
Well, I mean, we do that anyways. I mean, we're talking about the news of it. We don't. I think we've established here on Creepy Kingdom that we're not judging movies without seeing them.
No. I just mean I don't know if I want to be excited. I don't know if I want to look forward to it. I don't know anything because the thought of someone other than Julie Andrews playing Mary Poppins is so foreign.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, before we get into it, why don't we read this article from Cinema Blend, which discusses all the information that has been released.
From CinemaBlend.com, Disney's Mary Poppins sequel may have found the perfect star. When Disney announced that they were once again dipping into their pool of beloved movies and were giving everyone's favorite nanny, Mary Poppins, another film, it was met with some skepticism. Ever since, there's been a swirl of speculation about who may fill Julie Andrews' considerable shoes. No easy feat. And it looks like one of the names that has put into the mix since the very beginning landed the role, and Emily Blunt will play Mary Poppins. According to Variety, Emily Blunt is in talks to take over the role made legendary by Julie Andrews back in 64. She's so synonymous with the part that it's damn near impossible to imagine anyone playing P.L. Travers' iconic child care provider. When the new movie was announced a few months back, Emily Blunt was rumored to be one of the frontrunners to land the part. In a list of potential actresses put out by gambling sources, she had a 5-2 odds to play Mary Poppins, second only to Anne Hathaway's chances. So learning that she will likely play the part isn't a huge shock. But apparently she's been at the top of the wish list for a number of key players involved in the project since day one. Rob Marshall will direct the Mary Poppins sequel, with John DeLuca and Mark Platt set to produce. The three worked with Emily Blunt recently on the big screen adaption of Into the Woods, and that experience led them to wanting the 32-year-old actress for the role. There is no concrete deal in place just yet, as there are reportedly some scheduling conflicts that need to be worked around, and she's also pregnant with her second child, but more than anyone else, it just makes sense for Emily Blunt to play Mary Poppins. She keeps the character legit British and without having to rely on a fake accent. She's a fantastic actress, and this will give her something she hasn't done before, and as we now know, she can certainly handle herself when it comes to the singing. The Mary Poppins sequel will be set 20 years after the event of the original, and the action takes place in Depression-era London. It also reportedly follows the storylines from one of P.L. Travers' novels that dealt with the further adventures of Mary Poppins after her time with the Banks family came to a close. This is just the latest of Disney's endeavors to bring their classic tales new life. Up to this point, it's largely been by translating animated features into live action, but as illustrated by this move, nothing is off-limits moving forward.
No, nothing is off limits going forward. That's
quite
obvious. That's a very accurate statement.
You know, P.L. Travers is probably turning in her grave right now.
Whatever. Disco in her grave. Hey, but it is based off of one of her stories, so.
Which, I mean, that's why she's turning, because she didn't.
Yeah, that's exactly.
She didn't like movie.
She was too uptight for her own good. I like that we're getting more Mary Poppins. I mean, I like Mary Poppins, the character and the story and whatnot. I do like that it's going to be a sequel and it's going to take place 20 years later, and they are not trying to remake Mary Poppins.
Let's give a round of applause for that.
Yes. That makes me really happy. Like, before we go on to anything else, I just want to throw that out there. Thank you, Disney, for not trying to remake the original Mary Poppins.
But this is nuts. This is nuts. As far as I know, Julie Andrews is still with us. I mean, what's going on here? So
she can't sing. I mean, she can, but not like she used to. If you've seen like any of her latest stuff, her voice, I mean, she's older and nothing against Julie Andrews, but I mean, all of that singing, it takes its toll over time, and you can definitely tell that it has. So
$100 says that her and Dick Van Dyke both have cameos.
That would be epic. That'd be
cool. By the way, totally random. I just thought of this right now. I was at a horror convention this past weekend, Monsterpalooza. Mm-hmm. And I'm standing somewhere, and this entourage of employees starts like pounding through, and they're in my path of where I'm standing, and I realize they're not moving away, to the point where it was like they're going to hit me if I don't move out of the way.
They're
going to
run you over?
Yeah, I'm like, well, this is rude. I'm like, move over. Like, I didn't even know what was going on. You know, I was doing something. I was talking with someone else. I just see these people coming in my way. And as I get closer, I realize that there is a human being that is in the middle of this group of people that is not dressed like them. And as it gets even closer, I realize it is a very older gentleman. And as he comes right next to me, it's Dick Van Dyke just paraded by me.
Oh, my God.
What the?
And they were like, had this barrier of protection.
Because awesome. If you hit him, he might break.
Around. Right? So
why was Dick Van Dyke at Monsterpalooza?
I mean, I think he was just there as a fan. He wasn't like part of, he wasn't like in an appearance. He wasn't
Maybe
part
he
of
likes
anything.
Horror movies.
I have no clue. There's been a lot of celebrities that were shopping there throughout the weekend that came up on social media. Like Gary Oldman was there.
Of course, he was there. Come on.
Apparently, Guillermo del Toro was there. But he was there before they opened to the public.
I'm jealous.
Well, yeah.
So I don't know. But I just thought of that right now. That's a funny little story there. I almost got ran over by Dick Van Dyke's entourage.
I'll bet that God, I hate to put it this way, but I guess I'm going to anyways. I would bet that if both Julie Andrews and Dick Van Dyke are still with us when this movie starts filming,
God, don't say that.
That they will have cameos.
I hope so. I hope so. I mean, yeah, you know,
that would be.
I know Julie Andrews can't. Play the role right now. I know, but I don't know.
I have to say, sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say I'm not. It's the idea of someone else playing Mary Poppins is not exciting to me.
It's a little foreign to think about it that way.
I'd rather just leave well enough alone. I am glad that it's not a remake because you're never. It's a pointless remake. You're never going to capture it.
Yep.
And the film stands the test of time. Not all films do, but a lot of people get in the remakes debate. And of course, who knew it was going to come up during this, you know, do remakes need to be made? I mean, nothing needs to be made, but,
no, it doesn't need to be made, but
you know,
should it be made?
I don't get excited about a lot of remakes of films that I like, you know, that's not an exciting idea to me, but some of them are good movies and some of them aren't, you know, I mean, it is what it is, but the idea, like, I don't know, I'm not too excited about a reboot, but it still might be fun. Into the Woods, I enjoyed as a movie.
I really like Emily Blunt, so I think they made a really good casting choice with her. You know, if someone's going to play Mary Poppins, I do think that they made a good choice. I'm glad it's not Anne Hathaway. I love Anne Hathaway. I think she's an awesome actress, and I pretty much like her in everything she's done. But I can't really see her as Mary Poppins, especially because of her role in The Princess Diaries and the fact that she was in that with Julie Andrews. And it just, there's that tie, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I'm glad it wasn't her. I'm glad it's Emily Blunt.
So, wow. I mean, there's not too much else to say about this, I guess. I mean, we're talking about new songs. Just as iconic as the film is the Sherman Brothers songs. I mean, even though it's a sequel, it's still going to be, it's still held up to the original film. Like it's going to have to try to recapture that magic. And I just don't know if it's possible.
You know what else would be awesome? The Sherman Brothers wrote songs for Mary Poppins that never made it into the movie.
Hmm.
Wouldn't it be cool if they went back and grabbed those songs and at least, you know, put one in? Like that would be really cool.
Hmm.
There's so much that they could do with it. Like, there's so much potential because they're not trying to remake the movie. They have so much potential to do really, you know, cool little things and put in neat little Easter eggs and stuff like that.
We'll see when trailer surfaces, you know, what the tone of it looks like. Hopefully it will be magical. Hopefully there'll be animation mixed with live action. Which is something that we haven't really seen a long time. Because that would actually be a real bummer if they do, like, CG, like, to make it, like, photorealistic. You know, I mean, there's not animation throughout, but the animated sequences of Mary Poppins are, you know, arguably some of the best moments of the film. You know, so
everyone loves dancing penguins.
Yeah. So let's hope they're not live action or not live, you know, not live action, but, you know, realistic looking penguins that show up. I don't know. That's probably what it's going to be. So you might as well just accept it now. But I just hope that's not the case. But time will tell.
Yep.
It's probably not going to be creepy. There's really
probably not. No.
There's really nothing creepy about Mary Poppins that comes to mind in the original film. Unless you want to call her just watching old school practical effects look kind of creepy right? These days. So, no.
So, yeah. And then, yeah, I don't think there's really much more to talk about until we get a trailer.
Yeah, let's get this trailer. I don't know. They're not even starting making a movie yet.
You don't need to have a movie made for a trailer.
No.
I mean, like a Deadpool.
What do you mean? What are you referencing by?
Oh, the CGI stuff that they had, the test that got leaked.
Yeah. I was like, that went over my head. I'm like, they made a movie. I watched it. Oh, boy. So I actually compiled a list here of the films that have been made so far. We're talking about films that are live, that were animated Disney films that they're redoing in live action. As the list have been made, then I put up a list of films that have been announced or in development. And that list is nuts. So far, we haven't really had that much. So you feel like it's overkill already. We've had nothing. which is, it's only been four films, which is Alice in Wonderland, Maleficent, Cinderella, and The Jungle Book. Oh, you know what's not on my future release list? Which, I'm going to add to that. I can't believe it's not on this list. So I wrote up a list. And I counted them. I came up with 22 films that are currently in development. I'm going to add it 23 because Alice in the Looking Glass is coming out next month. So it's not it's a sequel, so I'm still going to put it as part of this. It's not an adaptation of anything that exists already. But it still stemmed from that.
Yep.
So out of this list, six films have been announced that there just says untitled fairy tale live action.
I love it. That could be anything.
So out of the six
untitled Disney fairy tale live action.
So out of the six, out of the list that I want to read here in a moment, six of them are untitled. So there's even more. Like, I also want to bring up a lot of people have been hearing a lot of news about a live action Little Mermaid film. That's been in the works, and that actually is not being made by Disney. That is going to be a Universal film.
Boo. I actually have a response written up. I mean, it's just a quick response, but I just copy and paste it every time someone posts about complaining about what Disney is doing to The Little Mermaid. This is not a Disney movie. This movie is from Universal. Please check your facts before you post. Like,
yay.
Well, I mean, it's not easy, you know, it's an easy mistake to make since every other day you're announcing live act, but they've also, you know, I don't know much about this Little Mermaid movie, you know, besides, Chloe, whatever her last name is scheduled to play Ariel. Chloe, well, she got, you know, from Kick-Ass.
Oh, yeah, I know who you're talking about. It starts with a G, but I can't remember.
And I think she's great in everything that she's in. Every movie I've seen her in, mm-hmm. I've loved her in it. So,
she's awesome.
So that's cool. But, they've done the Snow White movies, the Huntsman. The first one I didn't like at all, but I thought that Charlize Theron was pretty awesome.
Yep.
And she held that movie together, and her and Chris Hemsworth both.
So I'm looking. So I'm going to check out the sequel that just came out.
Me too, for sure. I love the fact they managed to make a sequel with all the good, or they managed to make another movie, and technically it's a prequel,
Yep.
I'm glad that they managed to make another movie and just took out the bad parts and left the good parts. And we're like, we're going to remake this, but we're going to make it better.
Right. So, I mean, it looks good, the sequel. So that I'm saying this Little Mermaid from Universal could be good too, I guess. I don't know. Who knows? But either way, it's not on this list. So, besides the Untitled, I'm going to have you guys read this list, whoever wants to do it.
I'll do it.
Okay.
All right. So the future releases that are coming out from Disney are, as already mentioned, Through the Looking Glass, which is the sequel to Alice in Wonderland, Peach Dragon, which we've discussed on a previous episode, Beauty and the Beast, which I believe we also discussed on a previous episode, Six Untitled, Cruella, which we just talked about, yay, Tinkerbell,
you can tell Roxy's really excited about this one.
That feels really creepy.
She went to helium sound.
Okay, whoa. I'm good.
It's not that awesome. Jesus.
I'm okay. They're making a Tinkerbell movie, you guys, and it's got Reese Witherspoon in it, and I'm very excited, okay? Very excited. Awesome. Dumbo, which we have also talked about on a previous episode.
Tim Burton directing,
When we get more on that, that'll be
yeah.
Really
there still has been no more information on that since we did that episode.
Mulan, there's a live action Mulan coming out. Winnie the Pooh, which we can assume is going to be in the same vein as the Jungle Book.
Yeah,
seems kind of weird. Pinocchio, Genies, which is the Aladdin prequel, which is I think really cool that they're going to do like. Genie's origin story. I think that's cool. I love origin stories. So. Or not. Cupcake does not like the idea of a genie origin story.
No, because if they're doing it about Genie, it should have been with Robin Williams, but, you know, that's not possible now. So it'll be with somebody else. That sounds like him.
Although, I'm not okay with it. I mean, realistically, I think that Robin Williams, even if he was still around, might have been a little old to, like, do it.
He was still performing and doing movies.
No, I meant a live-action version of the Genie.
Yeah, but to do a live-action Genie prequel, like, origin story, like, I don't know. I picture it as someone younger playing the Genie, I guess.
Ooh, dude, you know Genie's going to be CGI.
They need, no, they, well, you know. No, they should get like a person to play the genie, and then they'll dub like Robin Williams lines from all of his other movies over it, so he still has the right voice.
They could do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it's going to be. Anyways, let's finish the list.
That's my prediction. Okay. All right. Sorry. Okay. Night on Bald Mountain, which.
Yeah, that's my. Oh God! Yes. Oh my God. That's my tank.
Yeah, Sword and Stone.
Which I'm cool. Super excited about that one
because who doesn't like Arthur and Merlin and whatnot? There's an untitled Prince Charming movie coming out, which I think is interesting, and I'm also wondering which Prince Charming.
Well, it's Cinderella, right? That's where Prince Charming
is
from.
Is it for sure? I don't know.
There's only one Charming.
Well, no. Except that, like, yeah.
Officially.
Yeah.
Officially
Prince Charming's from Cinderella.
Yeah.
They throw that name around a lot.
Because it was Prince Valiant for Snow White. Or
Ferdinand.
Ferdinand, sorry, just kidding.
Prince Valiant was in that from, like, Spaceballs or something?
Valiant was the bird movie. Anyway, yeah. So this is an untitled Prince Charming movie. They're coming out with Rose Red, who is Snow White's sister, which I think is really cool. I have this old book of fairy tales from when I was little, and one of the stories in it that I loved my dad reading to me was Snow White and Rose Red. So I think it's really neat that they're going to introduce Rose Red to a whole new generation of kids and whatnot, and people for that matter.
Yeah, I never heard of it.
Mm-hmm. They're doing a Peter Pan live action, which it's been done like 100 million
so many times,
and I do not care. I will still continue to watch every single Peter Pan movie that's made.
I mean, this is going to be different from Tank. I mean, they couldn't have combined those films.
No. And actually, I'm glad that they didn't. I really am. I'm glad that they didn't, because if it was a Peter Pan movie
it would have Tinkerbell in it, you know, but she wouldn't be the main focus. So I think it's cool that they're going to do a live action Tinkerbell movie where she's the main focus. And then the two sequels that are coming up are, there's going to be a Maleficent sequel. And as James mentioned earlier, a Jungle Book sequel is already in the works.
This is enough movies for the next 20 years.
I mean, this is just live action adaptations of animated Disney films. I mean, they're going to be doing other movies. But
right, because you have to think about Pixar too.
And hopefully they put out some original movies in the middle of all this.
That'd be nice. That you would say that we could fill, you know, this could be 20 years worth of movies, because these movies are all dated for 17, 18, or 19.
Mm-hmm.
2017, 2018.
A good portion of them don't have release dates, in fairness.
Yeah.
but like, we got, like, we have these movies, we have all of the Marvel coming out.
They're
going
to be cranking out at least like 2 to 3 of these movies a year, is what it looks like, of these live action fairy tale adaptations.
The next 10 years are going to be insane, I think, for Disney and all of its properties.
So,
it's going to be crazy.
I mean, I, as I mentioned, out of all of these things, I think the Mulan film actually has a lot of potential to be like a really good quality film.
They should get Ming.
They should get who?
Ming Na Wen.
They should.
I mean, just so I when I think about the story of Mulan, and or in the movie, the Disney film, it's pretty. It kind of lends itself to being live action.
Mm-hmm.
So you could really see them like just, you know, and I don't think too many people are like, hold that film so dear, like, don't mess with Mulan. That's, you know, so I feel like there's room for improvement and to make it live action.
Make a really cool action movie.
Yeah, that's one of the few films I say, like, that's a good idea to make that live action.
Yeah.
You know, just
and I agree. I think that it would be awesome if Ming was Mulan, but she's too old. But Mulan's supposed to be a teenager. I don't think she can pull off a teenager.
No, probably not.
I mean, I love her dearly, but.
And I still no more information on Night on Bald Mountain has come out, but that.
Yeah, they just like announced that.
But as soon as there is, James will know.
I mean, that
he'll hyperventilate.
Because I'm just thinking, like, I mean, this the of course it's based on the sequence from Fantasia, which is, you know, probably, if we had to really put a debate here, one of the creepiest, most evil things that has ever come out under Disney.
Sword in the Stone is pretty. Oh no, not that one. Black
Sword
Cauldron.
Sword in the Stone. I mean, Black Cauldron's up there. Black Cauldron's up there. I was like, Sword in the Stone.
But Black Cauldron has that like comedic relief and whatnot.
Yeah, there's no. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know. There's less chance that we're going to mess this up by adding something that doesn't belong in the Night and Bald. Like,
yes.
Like, it just has to be a straightforward, creepy, dark film. Like, if you're going to make it, you don't need to, we don't need to, like, a fun element, like, or a cute element. We don't need comedic relief. We don't need any songs. You know, we just, like.
You don't want Chernabog to have, like, a genie style.
The appearance, poof.
I don't need a sappy Chernabog backstory to make Chernabog, you know, sympathetic. Like,
how are you gonna make the devil sympathetic? Well, never mind. But no, I agree with you. 110%. I agree.
All right, cool. Well, I think that's gonna sum it up for this here. And with that, Roxy has left. She had enough of recording.
Yeah, she's over it. Look, I'm out, guys. Bye.
Without
see you later, skater.
Bye, guys.
She just like...
Sick of you.
She just got up.
She just got up and left. She's like, I'm done.
No, I'm sorry. I couldn't sit any longer. Like, I had to move.
Well, you're going to have to sit again because before we get out of here, we are going to do some listener feedback because we got some emails. We got some responses to our Little Mermaid Dark Origins episode.
Woo!
So yeah, let's get into that.
Cupcake, you want to read the first email?
All right. Well, listener feedback: an email from Mark Garrett. Hey, Mark. Hey, all. I'm a new listener and have quickly become hooked. Being from Florida, I have many fond memories of Disney World, and in fact, will be taking my daughter for the first time next year. Now on to my thoughts. Firstly, I love the fun-loving nature and the genuine feel of creepiness to all things Disney in the show. Second, Your laugh is an integral part of the show. Ignore the naysayer. See, James?
That's right.
By the way, what is the song you use when you say, let's begin, at the beginning of the show? Anyway, love the show and hope for many more in the future. Mark Garrett.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, Mark.
Thanks, Mark. You're awesome.
Thanks for writing and letting James know that there are people out there that love his laugh.
Yes, thank you for that. I appreciate that. To answer your question, the music at the beginning of the show is the audio from Indiana Jones and the Temple of the Forbidden Eye, which is an attraction only found at Disneyland, so you may not be aware of it or have experienced it since you're from Florida. But that is what it is for now. Things will be changing a little bit once we hit episode 100. There's a teaser there. I'm going to be changing things up a little bit.
Ooh.
A little revamping little thing going on there. But there's that. And awesome. Thanks for writing in. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks. And let us know how your daughter likes Disney World. You know, drop us a line.
Yep.
We are always interested in stuff that our fans are doing.
Yeah, I'm wondering. I don't know how old her daughter is, but you better. Hopefully she's old enough to remember it. I don't know if she's like super young.
She's like 25, just graduated college.
Right. Well, that happens. Some people don't go to their adults to Disney World.
That's totally true. I didn't.
That's so sad.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't. I mean, I guess technically I was an adult at 18 years old, but that's the first time I went to Disney World. So.
Yeah, and I didn't go until 2008.
It's not so sad.
I know.
I want to go back. I want to go back right now.
Let's go. All right, let's go. Right after we read these Little Mermaid Dark Origins comments.
Ooh.
So we did an episode a little while ago about the Little Mermaid and the origins of the story and the difference between the Disney version and the original version. And so we have gotten some comments on it, which is awesome. So on YouTube, the user Snowflake Productions said, modern Disney movies say you can't marry a man you just met. You have to go on a wacky 3-day adventure first. Enchanted, Princess and the Frog, Tangled, and if Anna and Kristoff get married, Frozen.
Which they do get married because they did the short.
Frozen Ever After.
Frozen Ever After, yep.
Yeah, I mean, you can't, because we were talking about is, you know, a lot of the Disney films, you know, the classic ones that you want to get married right away. And then when I thought about this, I was like, wow. It was like, I can't argue his point.
Nah, yep. Totally.
But who's going to watch a movie about two cartoon characters that fall in love and get engaged 2 years later and then finally get married maybe 3 years later because they can afford the wedding.
And then they, although, the wedding planning meetings, they get in the venue.
Like, yeah, they gotta take testing. No, although I don't think that Frozen should be included in that because Frozen Ever After does take place, you know, quite a while later, and Anna and Kristoff are still together and they are getting married and like, you know, they did give it a little bit of time to get to know each other and whatnot. So good for them. Let that be an example to young couples everywhere.
All right. Creepy Kingdom, a shining example for the youth. All right.
Our next one is a YouTube user, Will Lyon. He says, does anyone think that Triton should be the actual villain? Are you planning to do a dark origin on the Jungle Book?
Well, before we answer that, I do want to mention that Will Lyon is the person that asked us to do Little Mermaid after we did the Snow White's dark origins.
Nice.
And so he's putting in his request. He's putting in he's got some more requests there. He wants to do the Jungle Book since, you know, it would be timely, I guess, since the Jungle Book came out.
Keep it coming, Will.
Yeah. I mean, these are fun episodes, and I think a lot of people are really enjoying them because we're so ingrained with the Disney version, especially as Disney fans, of all these stories, and us being Creepy Kingdom. I mean, pretty much all of the original stories are way darker and creepier than the Disney version.
To answer Will's question, anyone that listened to my tirade on the Little Mermaid episode probably knows, but yes, I think Triton is a villain. Yes, I do. He's abusive, mean. Okay.
So our last here is is from Twitter. It's actually a little bit of an exchange that I had back and forth, so I want to include the entire conversation so we can discuss all the points. This is a first here for Creepy Kingdom as us reading Twitter conversations. But
and it's Jonathan. It's our boy, Jonathan Willis.
Yes.
He is a huge Creepy Kingdom fan. He's an awesome guy. He communicates with us all the time over social networks and stuff, and yay, we love him.
So he wrote that Triton and Ursula were brother and sister. I'm yelling at y'all while listening.
Is that? No, I'm sorry. I'm just going to let this conversation go ahead.
Let the conversation unfold. And then I responded on the Creepy Kingdom Twitter account saying, I've never heard that before. And then he said, really? I thought that was a known fact. The musical spells it out more. Triton got the Triton and Ursula got the shell.
So, no, I'm not sure about that.
Have any of us seen the Little Mermaid musical?
Like, is he referencing the live action Broadway musical?
I think he's referencing the Broadway.
Oh, I haven't.
Isn't he? Because I haven't seen it yet.
No, I haven't seen it.
And if that's so, I mean, the Broadway one is a Disney production. If they put it in there that Triton and Ursula are brother and sister, then we know it's canon because Disney's the one that came up with it. So,
but that musical doesn't exist anymore. That was a short-lived musical, right? Because that
very short-lived. But Disney in Japan, I believe, actually did that. So I don't know if the story is the same, but it was a musical in Japan.
Or is he referencing the Hollywood Studios attraction with puppets?
Wait, what? Wait a minute.
I don't remember what
there
it's
was.
Called.
There was puppets.
Oh, it's there. It's still there. It's like an opening day Hollywood Studios attraction that's still there.
We see this?
You go into the theater and it's Ariel and she's there and she's like telling a story.
It's not all puppets, but
we did see this.
It's like the story time.
Yeah.
Thing.
But it has a big stage and it's all gorgeous and under the sea. And yeah, I remember that. I don't remember there being.
Actually, it's not opening day. Sorry, guys. It's just been around for almost opening day. Originally, there was a show called Here Come the Muppets with people in adult humans and life-size Muppet costumes. That was the opening day attraction.
Okay.
So that's creepy. I've seen video of that.
So the musical ran from 2007 to 2009. It opened on Broadway in 2008. It had 685 performances and 50 previews. It was pretty short-lived. It was only a couple years.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember because I was like, oh, I want to see that. And,
me too.
And then I was like, you know, I don't go to Broadway shows very often. So it's like, I always just think they'll be around forever. I'm like, well, eventually we'll all go to that and that'll be great. And then it was like, nope, that's gone.
Yeah, I really wanted to see it and I never got to and I was very sad. But, hey, if Jonathan saw it and he says that it's in there. Oh, wait, here we go.
Ah, I need more references, Jonathan.
Check it out. After the Broadway production underperformed the box office close in 2009, director Glenn Castile was brought in to reinvent the musical for the 2012 Dutch production. He made changes to the score and book, including a new song, Daddy's Little Angel, to replace I Want the Good Times Back, which gives Ursula and Triton a new backstory, and replacing the heelys worn by the actors to introduce aerial effects and flying harnesses to create the illusion of being underwater. Yeah, I remember when it first came out, before it came out, I remember hearing it was going to be on skates. And I was really excited about that.
Starlight Express.
Yeah, because it was all Starlight Express. And instead of skates, they ended up using heelys to give the, you know, the impression of gliding and stuff like that.
And those really cumbersome tails that made her look like she was on a rock.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. Bad. But yeah, I think I'm going to look into this a little bit more. I will let you know.
All right, Jonathan.
Jonathan.
I will say that that's certainly not information that is floating around my brain. The canon introduced in the Little Mermaid Broadway musical.
Yeah, but I will let you know because I am going to do some research on it.
All right. So if you want to contact us, you could do so any way that you want to. There's so many ways. You can email us creepykingdom@gmail.com. You can comment on the YouTube post because we do post the episodes on YouTube. And, of course, we're all over our social media, Facebook and Twitter. And Instagram, of course, too.
we like social media, you guys. It's kind of our thing.
Yeah,
it's all right.
We're pretty obsessed with it, actually, as people, let alone as participants in this podcast. So.
Yeah, right.
Whenever a new platform comes out, I'm always like, want to try it out and get it going and figure it out. I'm all about it. It's good times. All right, so give everyone your contact info so we can skedaddle on out of this episode.
Miss Cupcake.
Cupcake Terror on Instagram, Cupcake _ Terror on Twitter, and that's it.
That's why you get to go first. I have basically every social network that you can imagine, and you can find all of my links at welcometoroxysworld.com. That is the easiest way to find me and to find my other podcast and Cupcake and Terror and I's YouTube show that we do.
Cupcake and Terror.
And I.
Shock and awe. Cupcake and Terror.
Changing the name. That's the new name of the show.
Yep.
All right. But yeah, find me. Welcome to RoxysWorld.com.
All righty. If you would like to contact us here at Creepy Kingdom, you can do so by emailing us at creepykingdom@gmail.com. And to check out any of our other podcasts, such as the Even James Has a Podcast podcast, Curvy Kitty Chat, and Roxy's World, just go to monstermoviemedia.com. For show notes, videos, creepy Disney cosplay, and fan art pictures. Links to all of our social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Google+, Tumblr, and Pinterest. Just go to creepykingdom.com. And if you're a Facebook user, be sure to join our Facebook group, which you can find the citizens of the Creepy Kingdom on our Facebook page. And if you would like to help support us here at the show, you could do so by going to patreon.com/creepykingdom. And lastly, if you're a Haunted Mansion fan, which I don't know why you wouldn't be if you're listening to this show, be sure to check out the website and all of our social media for our upcoming documentary we're doing on Haunted Mansion fans. The website is foolishmortalsdoc.com. Facebook and Instagram, Foolish Mortals Doc, and Twitter, Foolish Mortals D. Well, until next time.
I have to go now. It is midnight. Pleasant dreams. Ha 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 ha